He will forgive you, and then He will heal you. But He tells you when He heals you, just like He told the woman that was caught in adultery that brought Him to the Sadducees and the Pharisees. And when He told those men, He said, okay, yeah, the law says kill her. So He says, the one of you that has no sin, go ahead and throw the first stone. And then He sat down and started to write. I know He was writing their names and their sins in the sand. He was saying, John Doe, you did this. Or maybe, you know, whatever. Oh, you were over at her house three times yourself. He was writing it. They was, and they're looking at what He's writing, and they all left. They didn't nobody throw a stone. So God knows everything, doesn't He? You can't hide nothing from the King. So then whenever He said, woman, where are your accusers? She said, Lord, they're all gone. He said, so no one condemns you. He said, neither do I condemn you. But He said, go and leave your life of sin. See, He was warning her again. Leave your life of sin. Well, He's still doing it, isn't He? He's telling us here. Just like that man that He healed at the pool of Bethesda. He told him after he come back, He said, now, he'd only been handicapped and paralyzed for 38 years. That's all. And then He come back and said, now, stop sinning or something worse is going to come upon you. See, all through the Scripture, He's trying to tell us not to sin. And it's like we don't even hear it. Well, you know, that was 2,000 years ago. It doesn't work like that today. But God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never changes, does He? Why didn't I listen to my teachers? Why didn't I pay attention to those who gave me instructions? I have come to the brink of utter ruin, and now I must face public disgrace. How many people do we know that have been there in public disgrace and they found out that they went somewhere and maybe a businessman, and he went with a group of businessmen to a trip to Mexico or wherever, New Orleans or wherever, and went down on one of the streets where the prostitutes are. And of course he went in with one of them, and a few years later a venereal disease came up on him that didn't manifest for 20 years. You know, there is diseases like that, you know that? That you'll carry that in your body, and that's what he's talking about right here. In your later years this thing will come upon you and manifest, and who knows what it will do to you. But then you die in public disgrace. Somebody said, gee, he was such a nice guy. He was a deacon in the church. You know? But he died with a venereal disease. I wouldn't have thought he had done anything like that. But he did. Then he says, drink water from your own well. If you're a married man, share your love only with your wife. Not supposed to have two, only supposed to have one wife. You're only supposed to share your love with her. Why spill the water of your springs in public? He says, having sex with just anyone. That's not the way to do it, is it? No sex until marriage. No sex after marriage except with your mate. That's God's plan. And that's the way He says it. And He's pretty clear. You should reserve it for yourselves. Don't share it with strangers. That's your sexual relationship. You're absolutely... It's amazing how one man and one woman can get married at a young age and have sex as many times as they want to all of their life. Enjoy it. And never have a venereal disease. Isn't that amazing? God made sex. And He made the way for it to be done. One man and one woman that are married. No other way. But then you can take that guy or that woman, and they can go out and have another partner. Maybe that other partner is married with somebody else, and maybe none of them have got a venereal disease. But a married man over here and a married woman over here that are not married to each other, they go out and have a sexual relationship, and one or both of them come down with a venereal disease. Where do you think that venereal disease come from? From the devil. He saw his legal right due to that sin, and he inflicted that person with that venereal disease. And then you'll pay for it. You know, you will pay for it. You know, it's terrible, you know, but that's the way it is. We need, the church needs to teach these things to our people from day one when they're young, when they're little. They need to know this. Don't do it. And still, there'll be some of them do it anyway. I mean, you can tell people and tell them and tell them, and some of them will listen and some of them won't. You know that? Some will listen and some won't. But here it is, and clear as it can be. Let your wife be a fountain of blessing for you. Rejoice in the wife of your youth. She is a loving doe, a graceful deer. Let her breast satisfy you always. May you always be captivated by her love. A man should never be captivated by the love of any woman except his own wife. A man should not even dwell upon looking at a woman that's not his wife. You know, he should dwell only at looking at his own wife. If you're going to look at any other woman anywhere, you ought to look at her in her eyes. You know, but don't dwell on her body parts, because that's what God wants us to do. May you always be captivated by your wife's love. Why be captivated, my son, with an immoral woman, or embrace the breast of an adulterous woman? For the Lord sees clearly what a man does, examining every path he takes. An evil man is held captive by his own sins. They are ropes that catch and hold him, your sins. He will die for lack of self-control. He will be lost because of his incredible folly. Now then, so you go out and you're a church member and you go out and you mess around with these immoral women, and if you die in that sin, not only, if I read this right, may you die with some kind of venereal disease, but you may very well lose your soul in the process. Because as long as you're living that lifestyle, God says a person that's living in an adulterous lifestyle, even though they say they're a Christian, he said, you shall not inherit the kingdom of God. That's scary, isn't it? That ought to be enough to turn you away. You know, I don't know, somebody say, oh my goodness, but you know, sex with those prostitutes, that's such fun and so good. Well, let me tell you, 1 second in hell would change everything. It wouldn't be worth it to me. I don't care how good somebody said it was or how pleasing it seemed to be. It ain't worth spending 5 seconds in hell for, much less eternity. I mean, you can't imagine. We really can't imagine what it's going to be like for the people that die without Jesus. I mean, if we really believe that, we'd talk to more people about Jesus. You know that? I mean, it don't make any difference. They laugh at you, scream at you, make fun of you, whatever they do to you. You're still, because you love people, you're going to tell them about Jesus. You know? You can't keep from it. Because you know, if they don't know Jesus, they're going to die and go to hell. They're going to burn in a lake of fire forever. You know, it's awful to think about what's going to happen. But the same thing's happening right here. This person that's involved in a moral life, he says, you will die for lack of self-control. Well, isn't it amazing that a man, maybe that he's 30 or 40 years old and he's been involved in immoral living, and all of a sudden he just dies. Maybe he don't die with venereal disease. Maybe he just has a heart attack. You know, but he still died. I mean, I don't know about you, but I don't want to even think about dying at 30 or 40, do you? No, I don't even want to think about dying at 70 or 80. You know, I still got a lot of living to do. I enjoy living, don't you? Praise the King. I love living on this earth. You know, God has given this earth to us to enjoy. And I'm going to enjoy every day of it, you know. I'm going to have a good time. I'm going to talk to people about Jesus. I'm going to love them. In fact, I had a man call me and yesterday morning. And it was this morning, I guess it was. Anyway, one of the last two mornings. And he said, Thurman, I've got to have you pray for this friend of mine. I said, okay. He said, I prayed for him. He said, I don't know what it is about you and God. But he said, here a while back I'd prayed for these two women, and I couldn't get either one of them healed. But he said, I called you, and you prayed for both of them over the telephone, and God healed both of them instantly. And so he said, I want this one to be healed too. And so he said, I want you to pray. Well, let me tell you, I love hearing those kind of testimonies that when I prayed for somebody, God healed them. Don't you? Well, let me tell you, if you're out messing around with an immoral woman, he's watching what you're doing. And let me tell you, you just cut yourself off from a prayer. The thing about it is, if we don't straighten up, you know, if we think about the, I think myself, right here in the Metroplex, and or at least in the surrounding area where we live, we know for the last two or three years there's been very, very little rainfall. I mean, you know, all our lakes, all of our lakes. I mean, we got multitudes of huge lakes around here, and they're all almost down to the point. They were down to the point where almost everybody in the Metroplex was on a water ration. You know, you couldn't water your yards, you couldn't wash your car, you couldn't do a lot of things because we had no water. Well, we as a church, we're praying. You know, God, please send us rain. And finally, one day he says, okay, I've heard your request. I'm going to send you rain, but I'm going to send a little plague with it. And do we ever see in Scripture where he'd done that before? Absolutely. I'm going to give you your request, but I'm going to send a plague with it. And so, and it killed lots of people. And look what's happened. I mean, when he started sending us rain over the last 2 months, it's rained every day. I mean, almost. The lakes are full. Everything. I mean, they can't let water out of these lakes here because everything downstream is flooded. Everything's full. So if they start letting water out, you know, it's going to continue to flood everything downstream. So, you know, you tell me that's a blessing? I don't think so. I think that's a curse. Who is controlling the environment? God is. Sure he is. He's the one that makes it rain. He's the one that gives rain, or he's the one that stops the rain. And, of course, you know, like you said a while ago, you know, if God were to, I mean, when we stop and look at what's on television and everything else today, wow, if I was God, I wouldn't be happy with this country.
We're going to have to stop right there for today, but we'll start again tomorrow with a teaching. And if you'd like to have these teachings in their entirety, if you would just give us a call, we'll be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. That's at 940-242-2106. 940-242-2106. And we'll send them to you free and postpaid. Or you can go to our website. You can listen to these teachings again from the website, or you can get them free and postpaid from www.tlsm.org. www.tlsm.org. That's the Living Savior Ministries. There you can listen to these again, or you can order them free and postpaid, and many other teachings free and postpaid from our website. Praise the Lord Jesus.